Bea and Maggie would strew it with sawdust Stuart carefully collected from the wood heap, sprinkle the sawdust with precious particles of water, and sweep the damp, pungent, fragrant mess away out of doors, down off the veranda onto the vegetable garden, there to decompose itself to humus. But nothing kept the dust at bay for long, and after a while the creek dried up to a string of water holes, so that there was no water to be pumped up from it to kitchen or bathroom. Stuart took the tank truck out to the borehead and brought it back full, emptied it into one of the spare rain tanks, and the women had to get used to a different kind of horrible water on dishes and clothes and bodies, worse than muddy creek water. The rank, sulfur-smelling, minerally stuff had to be wiped off dishes scrupulously, and made the hair dull and coarse like straw. What little rainwater they had was used strictly for drinking and cooking. Father Rafe watched Maggie tenderly. She was brushing Patsy's curly red head, Jim standing obediently but a little rockily, waiting for his turn, both pairs of bright blue eyes turned up to her adoringly. Just like a tiny mother she was. It had to be a thing born in them, he mused, that peculiar obsession women had for infants, else at her age she would have regarded it as a duty rather than pure pleasure, and been off to do something more alluring as fast as she could. Instead, she was deliberately prolonging the process, crimping Patsy's hair between her fingers to shape waves out of its unruliness. For a while, the priest was charmed with her activity. Then he whacked the side of his dusty boot with his crop and stared moodily off the veranda toward the big house. Hidden by its ghost gums and vines, the profusion of station buildings and pepper trees which lay between its isolation and this hub of station life, the head stockman's residence. What plot was she weaving, that old spider up there at the center of her vast web?
"Father, you're not watching," Maggie accused him.
"I'm sorry, Maggie. I was thinking." He turned back to her, as she finished with Jim's. The three of them stood watching him expectantly until he bent and scooped the twins up, one on either hip. "Let's go and see our Auntie Mary, shall we?" Maggie followed him up the track, carrying his crop and leading the chestnut mare. He toted the infants with easy familiarity, and seemed not to mind, though it was almost a mile from the creek to the big house.